Hello and welcome back to The Itinerary. I am Jared Schwartz.
I'm Melissa Schwartz.
Coming to you live from the Middle East. We are at the Armani Hotel in Dubai, currently on the 39th floor, which happens to be the penthouse. Great view of the city. On this episode, we're going to take you inside to how we got to Dubai, not the closest place to travel to, how we did it in style, on Emirates, on the A380. We'll get into that. The second part of the episode will be on the Armani Hotel on Dubai. We're here for about 36 hours in total. As we're taping this right now, we've been here roughly 28 hours. So just a few more to go. So we'll give you an inside look on the property that we stayed at, what we did here. It's a step forward into time, and then it's a step back at the same time.
Very interesting dichotomy.
Yeah. I think we both had, you know, thoughts of what it would be like going into it, and now we have thoughts once we've experienced it. So we'll break it all down. If you want to go follow us on Instagram, it's @TheItinerary Travel. Some pictures and videos so far. Check us out there. And we're ready to go. You good?
I'm good.
Let's do it. Let's talk Dubai, Melissa. Right smack in the Middle East. If you don't know where it is, look it up right now. Bordering countries. You have Iran right across the water. Persian Gulf, Arabian Sea on the other side, Qatar is close, Doha there, Abu Dhabi is...
A nice 45-minute drive.
Yeah, it's a little longer than that, and...
Why are you gonna make me look stupid? You told me last night it's a 45-minute drive.
Now
I want to have a fact, and I'm wrong.
So, Dubai and Abu Dhabi are states, and they're part of the UAE. So United Arab Emirates, and they're two of, I believe, six or seven states that are here. So we're in Dubai right now, sitting in the Premier Suite on the 39th floor. We're going to get into Armani Hotel in just a bit, but first I want to talk about how we got here. And this was a flight that I was looking forward to for a long time. It took some legwork to get it done because it's not an easy ticket to get. Either you're going to have to cough up a huge chunk of change or you're going to have to save your points and miles.
Cough up a huge chunk of change if you want to fly the way we want to fly.
Correct. So we flew Emirates out of JFK direct to Dubai. They have two flights a day, both on the A380, which, if you don't know, is the double-decker plane. Emirates is the largest carrier of the A380. There's only about 10 airlines in the world that fly it right now, and Emirates by far has the most. We've flown it once before on Asiana, great experience there, so was excited to do this. They have first class, business class, and economy. The entire downstairs is economy. Upstairs are the first class suites, business class. They have a couple of great extras as well, which we'll talk about. But let's talk about how we did it first. So the cash value of this ticket for first class is a whopping $17,000.
And for a one way.
That's one way. That's U.S. dollars. So that's extremely pricey. Business class is not cheap either. It was about $7,000 per ticket. And if you want to go economy, about roughly $1,500. So we didn't want to pay for any of that. So we saved up our points and miles and we transferred them. Emirates is a partner of American Express. So we did it that way. Very easy transition. I just signed up for my account. Link the accounts on the Amex website.
And then, Skyward Miles is what
Amex, yeah, that's what they call it. Right, Skyward Miles. And then an instant transfer from American Express. These tickets are notoriously pricey in fees. So whatever you're going to pay with miles, there's going to be fees attached to that.
Which is taxes.
Yeah, taxes. A lot of the international carriers do that. So for business class, it was 117,000 miles for our ticket, plus about $800 in taxes and fees. Now, that includes the next leg of our trip, which we're actually doing tonight, which we'll talk about next episode. But if you just wanted to do New York to Dubai, it was about 100,000 miles. Same amount of taxes, though. So you're going to pay that either way. Now, what do you get for that?
And it was how much in taxes was it? It was like...
It was $800 a person.
Oh.
Yeah. They get you there.
I forgot it was that much.
Right.
Okay.
But the cash value of the business class ticket was $7,000.
Yeah.
So times two, $14,000. So $1,600 compared to, you know, that amount, almost $15,000. There's a big difference there. We were eyeing the first class suites for a while. If you wanted to do that, it would have been an extra 50,000 points each. So 100,000 miles, didn't really have that. And then the more and more we looked into it, what do you get, what do you not get for that amount? Like, why is it worth it? Well, the seats are certainly different. Little bigger, different setup. On the A380, they're not brand new. So Emirates has their brand new suites on the 777, which we're actually flying tonight. So you get a little bigger seat. You get a bigger selection in meal service, but the food's the same. So maybe they have like two more entrees to pick from, but you're more or less getting the same thing. You get an extra caviar course if you like it. I don't even like caviar, so that doesn't matter to me.
And the wine is a little bit different.
Yep. Dom
instead of Vuv, but right. Like Vuv is still great.
Yeah. So if you're a champagne snob, like, sure, maybe it's worth it. I don't know.
Well, I also think that I love experiencing, like, a premium product with you, like business class. And I think that all the first class seats are isolated. You're by yourself. So
correct.
And we flew in the morning. So I actually spent the majority of that flight up. So I wouldn't have wanted to be all by myself.
Yeah, I agree with that. So usually the setup... in business class is 1-2-1. So you have the two honeymoon seats, which they call it, which are together. Obviously, you have your own separate space, but you're closer than you would be in a enclosed suite in first class. They have the shower up there, which you can do if you want for 5 minutes at a time. Pretty cool to take a shower in the air. But besides that, there is a bar in the back of the business class section, which is for both first class passengers and business class passengers, and we can talk about that as well. But let's start kind of at the beginning. So that's how we booked the flight. Now, the experience. So we went into the Emirates Lounge. JFK has the biggest Emirates Lounge outside of Dubai in the world. So it was fresh, it was clean, it was new. Probably the coolest thing was you could board directly from the lounge, which I've never done before. It's available in certain places, and it's available when you have this type of aircraft because there's two gates. There's one for economy on the bottom, and then there's one on the top for the premium class. So basically the jet bridge went directly from the lounge right onto the plane, which I thought was cool.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, they, you know... The lounge was fine. Like, they had the same champagne, the Vuv there.
Come on, if you're going to be fancy.
Some snacks. I tried to stay away from the snacks in the lounge because I was anticipating a big meal. It's a 12-hour flight. So really, we flew during the day because we wanted to experience the product more than sleeping through it, which I liked doing. You still had some time to sleep on there if you wanted to. I didn't sleep at all. I know you probably nodded off for a couple hours on there.
Yeah, I think I was only asleep for like 2 hours.
Right. So made our way onto the plane. You turn left for first, you turn right for business, and there's two separate cabins for business
class. Was that weird to turn right for you?
Yeah,
because
you...
still be excited?
Right.
Because you're like, always ATL, always turn left.
Yeah, I mean, it is always ATL. This plane's a little different, though. So I did turn left for a moment.
I know.
And we went to go check it out and everything like that. And we're like, okay, probably not worth the points.
I was happy that we kept those 100,000 points because by the time we had this flight, we did have the points to upgrade. And I'm happy, honestly, that we didn't.
Right. And we checked it and we tried to see, okay, what do they have? Is it worth it? They didn't even have the seats available for upgrade. So it was a moot point there. In business class, there's 19 total rows and two different cabins. Now, when I was booking this ticket, I, of course, was doing my research. And because you want to be in the sweet spot, right? You don't want to be too close that you're near the bathroom or the galley. In this case, you don't want to be at the back right by the bar where everybody's going in and out of. So we were in around the fourth or fifth row of business class, which I thought was a really good spot.
And you picked a great spot.
Thank you. And then, probably 40 minutes or so, they came around with champagne, or juice if you want. We went champagne. Cheers. And, we were ready for takeoff. So about, I would say 45 minutes into the flight, they started their service. They came around. There was, it was... like an 11 a.m. flight, so we did lunch. You had your choice of appetizer. I went smoked salmon. What'd you do? Some dips or something?
I did the traditional mezze.
Okay. And then...
got some hummus, baba ganoush.
And then we both went lamb chops.
Yeah.
For the entree, which was good. And then...
I feel like the people just really want to hear me tear apart our flight attendant.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Don't worry. And then a dessert. And then you had... a choice of snacks. They don't come around like with a cart or anything. Everything is on a tray table. So if you want something, just order it. And then they came around with a breakfast service there. Before we get to your tantrum, let's just talk about the bar a little bit.
I would say tangent rather than tantrum, but okay.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
It's a tease. Let's talk about this bar situation.
The bar is awesome.
Totally cool. Like, one of the things I was looking forward to, they only have it on the A380, they only have it on Emirates. So back of the business class section, right after you hit 10,000 feet and they turn the seatbelt sign off, they start setting it up. So bartender there for the entire flight, a list of snacks, either hot or cold. They have some out, sandwiches and stuff, or if you want to order something. And then the drink menu. So they had about 15 different cocktails that you could order. Of course, they had all your regular spirits and wine and champagne back there as well. But there was an area with couches, which was pretty neat. Everybody, 12-hour flight, you like to walk around, you like to stretch. It just gave you someplace else to sit and relax. They did have seatbelts there. One time I was lounging, seatbelt sign went on. They made you, buckle up. And we got a couple of dirty martinis back there. It was just a nice thing to have on that type
and I
of
mean,
flight.
You've taught me this, the hard product, it consists of the seats and then, the liquor that they have. So everything was top notch. Like they had Belvedere vodka, Veuve champagne, really good wine.
Well, actually, I'm going to correct you for a second. So the hard product is the type of plane, the seat. The soft product is the service, the food. That
see,
kind of
yesterday
stuff.
When we were having this conversation and I was talking, see, you keep setting me up to make mistakes. This is not
I'm
nice.
Not doing it on purpose.
This is not nice.
Okay, let's go. It's your time to shine.
It's my
the floor is yours. Take it. What's your beef with what happened?
Okay, so Jared and I, when we were in the taxi coming from the airport to the hotel, I was talking about the experience. I might have been cursing a bit, and Jared was terrified because he didn't know since this is a Muslim country, if I was going to be arrested for cursing in the cab. So there was that. You were literally white as a ghost, and I had no idea why, and then you had to explain to me why. So anyway, the seats were great. I think that the quality of the food and the liquor, top-notch. I think, unfortunately, on a 12-hour flight, the flight attendant that's, like, servicing you, personally, I think, is really going to shape your experience. And I found our flight attendant to be horrific. We told her that Jared had a nut allergy. Jared had called Emirates the day before we flew to let them know. And she just thought that she just wouldn't give him nuts and that would be the end of it. And so I said to her, well, no, can you please confirm if any of the items here have nuts in it? Like, sometimes there are nuts and it's not noted on the menu. And she was like, oh, I don't know. So we won't give you a meal. We'll just give you fruit for a 12-hour flight. And we had previously notified the airline. And so here's the thing. You heard it earlier in the episode that we bought these seats so long ago that I completely forgot the tax alone on the flight was $800. So imagine if you paid cash. And so it's a $7,800 ticket per person, one way. So can you imagine paying $7,800 and then sitting down and being told that you can just have fruit for the remainder of a 12-hour flight? Then I don't really eat meat that much, but I do eat meat, so I don't want to pre-order a vegetarian menu. So they had no vegetarian options on the entree menu, and I wasn't really into any of the options. So I said to her, out of curiosity, what is the vegetarian dish? She could not, for the life of her, tell me. And it was like back and forth. And it was a simple thing. Like, she could have just said, let me go find out. I will be right back. But it took her like 150 words to, I don't know, confuse herself. Anyway, then Jared had read that they have off the menu wines. And he saw it noted on the menu as well. So he asks her about it, and she says, oh, that's just a sentence on the menu. That's just a sentence on the menu? What the hell does that even mean? So then she comes back and tells him what the extra wine is. Then she starts serving us, and she gives us chocolate that had nuts in it. And I was like, he doesn't need that. It has nuts in it. Then she gave him bread that had nuts in it. And I just think that she was incompetent. And I think that you're paying a lot of money that if someone tells you that they have a nut allergy, which is deadly, you should do your due diligence to not fuck up as much as she did. That's it.
You got more?
Nope, that's about it.
Okay. I have a couple of things on that. I agree with everything you said. It was interesting because I did make the call the day before, and I was actually calling about the upgrade, but I wanted to let them know. I said, can you put in the notes, I'm allergic to nuts? And I kind of wanted to see how it would play out because we've gone down this road before, obviously not on Emirates, but on Delta or United, where you get on board, they give you a menu, you're in business class, and not every ingredient is listed. So we've had issues before. And so when this happened, I wanted to see if anybody would come up to me before the flight. Nobody did. The situation, they have, since it's a much bigger plane, holds around 500 people total, they have a ton of flight attendants on there. Just for business class alone, there was probably 15 of them. And so, as Melissa was mentioning, there's one for maybe, you know, every four rows or so. So there was one on my side, she had another one, but they were both convergent on the nut situation. And, you know, I'm wary about, you know, the stuff that is served. I look for certain things, but, like, I'm not going to catch it every time. So I totally agree with you. Like, you're paying, you know, that much, that's the cost of the ticket, or you're paying that many points. Like, this is stuff that should be taken care of, but unfortunately we see a lot of situations where it's just not. And whether it's them not knowing the ingredients, because they did come over and they did say, we can't be 100% sure because we don't have, like, an ingredient list.
Yeah, or, like, you should know that if you're giving someone chocolates, they have nuts.
Correct,
in them.
You should.
You should know if you're giving someone walnut raisin bread, that it's going to happen.
There's also a language barrier too. Now, they made an announcement that there's 21 languages spoken on this plane, okay? But maybe English wasn't everybody's first language. And that was another thing. You're trying to explain the situation to somebody. They're not getting it fully, and there, in turn, you have your issues. So that was a major gripe of, you know, the trip. But I thought, overall, it was a great experience. I love flying on that plane. It's my favorite plane to fly on, hands down.
You loved it so much, you did a VR simulation today.
I did. We can talk about that coming up in a few minutes. But you really feel like you're floating, especially when you're on the upper deck. And, you know, I didn't sleep at all on that flight. I barely ever sleep on flights in general, but it was, like, 12 hours kind of seemed like 6 or 7, I would say. Didn't seem like 12 to me. Now, when you get off the plane and you're dead tired, that's a different story. But the overall Emirates experience, take the flight attendant issue out of it, which I know is a big thing, but I did really like the product. I did like the experience. I thought it was a step above most things we've flown before. And so I'll give it a check mark for that. So we got to Dubai around 8 a.m. local time. And we're only here for roughly 36 hours. And we made the decision, you know, we're looking at a couple different hotels to stay at. You don't know much about a city, so you're looking, okay, what's the right place to stay, where maybe we don't have to take a lot of cabs or Ubers. They do have Uber here. Like, what's going to be the most convenient? So we decided on the city center. Dubai is, it's in a desert. It has shades of Las Vegas, minus the casinos and the drinking. It has shades of Hong Kong, has shades of Singapore, all that stuff combined. It is on the water. There is a beach area with a man-made palm island. It looks like an island. It has, like, Atlantis, the resort out there. There's a lot of different hotels. So there's that area, which is a little further away, probably like 40 minutes from the airport. And then there's a strip of beach prior to that where something like the Mandarin Oriental is. And then you have the city center, where we are. So,
the city center is only like 20 minutes from the airport.
Right. This is not a walkable city. Everybody you'll encounter will note that. It's just very spread out. Nothing is close together, which is okay. So we decided on the Armani Hotel, which is inside the Burj Khalifa, which is the tallest building in the world. Roughly 155 floors, something like that at the top. So the Armani Hotel, which is an Italian brand, they have a sister property in Milan. We looked at it, looked really nice, looked sleek, new. It's inside the tallest building in the world, so how can you go wrong with that? It's 15 minutes from the airport, convenient. So that's what we picked. And let me ask you, what was your first impression? I don't know how much research you did prior to coming here, but what did you think of the hotel when you walked in and the room and all that stuff?
I think the room is absolutely beautiful. Jared and I have basically over the past 2 years have been renovating our apartment, and I would say that like this room would be like part of the mood board of what I wanted our space.
Well, how would you describe it?
It's so modern, extremely sleek. The door, when you go to enter the room, it's this big wooden door. Everything is electronic, so you open it up, and then the entire room is controlled by an iPad. Anything you need, like if you need to communicate with the front desk, you do it via iPad. They have the blackout shades. You use the iPad to open and close them, to turn on the TV. It's kind of like the Jetsons. I'm a big fan. So to take a step back, when you said there are vibes of Hong Kong here, I really think that the Armani Hotel is reminiscent of Hong Kong. I don't really see Hong Kong for Dubai. I think there's a lot of parallels with Singapore and Vegas, or the two I would say. But Jared's like all-time favorite hotel is the Hong Kong Ritz-Carlton. And that hotel is inside of the tallest building on the Kowloon side. And so then this hotel is inside the tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalifa.
Noticing pattern here?
Exactly. And so reading all those things, I had given Jared a bunch of choices of places where I wanted to stay. That's usually how we typically do it. I'll give him like three choices once I've narrowed it down. I wanted him to pick this hotel. He picked this hotel and it's amazing.
Yeah.
You want to talk about,
yeah, I'll just give my view of it. So getting out of the airport, first of all, is a very easy process. Like 5 minutes to go through customs. When we got there, bags came out. Grab a taxi. They do take credit cards.
Something they do here that they don't do at home, I don't believe, is like there's a separate line for customs if you were flying business and first class.
Correct. Yeah, there is. So that made it even faster. We usually find that taking a taxi from whatever airport we're going to is usually easier in international destinations
than Uber.
Yeah, than Uber. There's usually a huge, you know, area with a lot of cabs in it. It's just much easier, and especially when they take credit cards, even better. So we made sure of that. So leaving the airport and driving, I felt vibes of Singapore first. And by that, I mean the highways are extremely new and they're wide. They're 6 to 7 lanes wide, and that's what we saw in Singapore. Very, very clean, very safe. I think Dubai was rated the number 7 or 8.
Eight,
safest city in the world. So, first thought, Singapore. Then, as we go a little further, I got vibes of Vegas. Just the structure of the buildings, how they were laid out, and obviously you're in the middle of a desert. When, you know, you're on final approach into the airport, all you see is sand. So, Vegas in that sense. And then, when you pull up to this particular hotel, I got vibes of Hong Kong, just as Melissa was mentioning. Situated in the tallest building in the world. You said you didn't really feel Hong Kong outside of that, but there we are at dinner last night, and there's the Dubai Fountains, which are right outside of our hotel, and that's one of the biggest attractions here. And every 30 minutes, they go off with a light show. And if you remember back in Hong Kong, I think at 8 o'clock every night, there's a light show, too, over the water with the other buildings. So I felt like similar in that, and then there's lights on all these buildings as well that flicker. So I got more Hong Kong vibes as we went along.
Dubai is just like a really futuristic place. Like, they now have advertising on the side of buildings in lights.
Yeah, go to this website.
Like billboards, like built onto buildings, which I've never seen before.
When I was, you know, researching, looking into it, asking certain people told me like Vegas of the Middle East, okay? I get that sense. Obviously, the casinos are not here. Drinking is not allowed except for inside the hotels. It's just not a thing in Muslim culture. So this being an Islamic state, it's not really prevalent. There is a club, apparently, in our hotel. Right, but not open on the one night that we're here. So didn't check that out, but apparently it's here.
Would we check that out, Jared? Are we... Clubbing?
Early bird special, maybe. I think it opens after we usually go to sleep. But my take was kind of similar to yours on the hotel. So enter, very hospitable, come out, get your bags, went to the front desk, very dark woods, sleek, new. And they set us up. They gave us tickets to the aquarium, which we'll talk about. They gave us tickets to the virtual reality experience.
All located in the mall, which is...
It's the place to
be.
Which
is right next to our hotel, and you don't have to step outside. I mean, I think a lot of it is built like Vegas as well, where it's like so hot because it's a desert that everything is basically made where you can access things inside.
We're here in one of the cooler months, and it's probably like 82 degrees, so it's not that bad, but like,
you know... it's dry heat.
Yeah, it's dry heat. But usually, for the majority of the year, it's over 100 degrees here. So I don't blame them how they built it.
Yeah, it was smart.
And when I say that I've stepped outside for about 5 to 7 seconds since we've been here, that's legitimately true. Like, the both of us have not stepped outside, and we're totally fine with that. It's interesting. We were just talking about this. Like, what's most important to you in seeing a city? And I think, like, we travel well together because we're on the same page with what we like. A lot of people will take this 12-hour flight and have it in their mind like, okay, I'm only here for 36 hours. I'm going to do as much as I can right now. we're a little different. We want to go to the hotel. We want to shower. We want to sleep for a little bit.
Yeah.
We want to explore at our pace.
One of my first things I do is I will email the hotel if we arrive early, and I will say, we're getting in early. We would appreciate an early check-in because I want to know when we get to that hotel that we have a bed to lie on.
Totally agree. My number one thing. And, you know, you sleep a lot on flights. I don't, like, you're still tired as hell when you get off. So it's just not the same. So, you know, getting to that hotel, the room being ready, having a shower, and either going to sleep or just resting a little bit. So the room was ready at 9 a.m., which was great. We're in a premier suite on the top floor. Fantastic.
Yeah, so although we're in the Burj Khalifa, the Armani goes up to the 39th
Correct.
Floor, and
yeah.
they put us on the 39th floor, which, like, has amazing views.
Sick views. Like, very reminiscent of the Ritz in Hong Kong, I think. So you walk in. There's not one, but there's two bathrooms here, which is a lovely addition. A big walk-in closet, living room with a couch, chair, a desk. Looking out over the city center, I feel like we're higher than the 39th floor. It just feels like maybe we're in the 60s or the 70s, and you look directly at these skyscrapers. It's pretty amazing. And then head around the corner to the big oversized king-size bed, big bathroom, stand-up shower, tub. So just a really nice suite. It's a little under 1,100 square feet, so a lovely size. And yeah, just as Melissa was mentioning, ultra-modern, so everything is directed from the iPad. So from turning on the TV to the lights, to the blackout curtains, to the temperature controls, all there on the iPad. So yeah, and then let's see. So stuff that you can do here or that we did, the thing to do is the mall. However 1994 that sounds, that's what it is. They have the largest mall in the world here. It's attached to our hotel, which is great. Because so many people congregate there, and we wanted to check it out. And if you can just walk underground and don't have to go outside, fantastic. As we mentioned, Dubai is a futuristic city, but the mall, I feel like, is a mix between futuristic and stuck in the 90s.
Yeah, so I think that our hotel, I would say, is pricey, but I think that there's a lot included with the hotel. So you have breakfast for two that's built in, and they also gave us tickets to the aquarium as well as VR experiences, which are located in the mall. I think that you had looked it up. Both of those experiences were like $50 a person if you would have purchased them individually. Normally, I would have no desire to go to an aquarium, but since the mall is like the number three thing to do on TripAdvisor and the
number one.
The number one thing to do in Dubai
is go to the mall.
Yeah, so number one thing, and then within it, you have the aquarium, you have the VR experience, which was actually awesome. And then they also have an ice skating rink.
Yeah.
But we can talk about the mall for a little bit, because I think that they do such a great job of catering to Americans that it's kind of like nostalgic of like past as well as present. So I saw like Pizza Hut and Quiksilver, Dippin' Dots. Like I was like Tony Roma's,
TGI Fridays, Chili's.
I just like didn't even know that some of these, the Children's Place, which I thought like was extinct, they have one there. Like I was just like, what is this? This is so crazy. But then you also have All My Best Friends, Fendi, Gucci, Prada, YSL. And it was really interesting the way it was organized. So they have multiple storefronts of these high-end stores because they organize it by shoes. Then they have on the second floor, I was like, why are all these clothes so small? They have like a Fendi for babies. They have a Gucci for babies. I was like, how rich do they think these Americans are? But yeah, I'll let you speak now as well.
No, I mean, they definitely cater to that group, that class of people. But Dubai in itself is majority made up of expats. So a lot of people from London, Great Britain, and there's a big Indian influence here. There's an Asian influence. So across the board, it's definitely an eclectic mix of cultures. And then you walk into the mall, which I mentioned is their number one attraction. It's the largest mall in the world. And you're just like, it depends what level you're on. Like Melissa was mentioning, her best friends, the high-end stores are on one level. And then if you want to go back to 1997 and go eat at every single chain restaurant available, by the way, we did have lunch at P.F. Chang's. Shout out Mongolian beef. And like, yeah, hit California Pizza Kitchen and Applebee's and Cheesecake Factory, and it's all there. And then go see this aquarium, which was pretty cool. Like, I wouldn't pay to go and do it, but it was nice that it was free.
Yeah.
Walk around. The VR experience.
Let's talk about the VR experience.
Yeah, let's.
So there were several school field trips. I have to say, if you are listening to this podcast and you are on the fence about having children, you should probably not go anywhere where there are 500 8-year-old boys running around, punching the air. I mean, it was like a joke because you're not supposed to drink liquor in this country, and I was shook after this. I was traumatized.
So this was...
And then I just took about 25 birth control pills at once because I was just like, what the fuck?
It was pretty intense. So this VR experience, this VR park, imagine like a Dave & Buster's, but 75% of it is virtual reality. So you get a card and it has a certain number of like dollars or tokens on it, whatever. And then they have different VR experiences. So they have a drone thing, which is kind of like a roller coaster. And then they have, you can play different sports in VR. And the one we did was the sand dune. So it was like you were out in the desert, and it was motion activated. You put on the VR mask, and it was us two with 7-8-year-old boys on there. And one is just going insane
on steroids, and of course he's sitting behind us, so
I think he had 8 Red Bulls before he went to this VR park.
No, he had roid rage. Like, that was a little person that had roid rage.
Was he like hitting the back of your neck?
Yes, he was punching me. And I was like,
you're like, get me out of here, stop. Get me away from these kids.
And then he was grunting, and I was like, oh my god.
We literally had to have like a chill session after to wind down. Melissa like gets off that ride and is like, you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. She's like, wine? I'm like, yeah, wine. And that's kind of how it went. So no, we didn't use all our tokens or money. We just threw it out in the garbage like, peace! Where's the bar?
I'm still scared. That poor kid's parents, I just keep thinking about them.
It's a lot. Like, we experienced it for 10 minutes and it was a lot. So,
yeah.
Anyways, that was kind of the mall. You said there was an ice skating rink there. Walk by that. It's huge. Like, you could spend a day or two if you wanted to in there. We were good 2 hours piece. Let's get out of here.
I got my magnet.
Yeah, you got a souvenir. We did go to dinner last night at one of the restaurants in the hotel, the Italian restaurants. This is the Armani Hotel. They have 4 different options. We picked the Italian one. Pretty good.
Yeah, they have Indian, Mediterranean. The Mediterranean is where they serve breakfast in the morning. Like you said, we went to the Italian, and then they have a Japanese place.
Yeah, overall, pretty good. Nice view out into the fountains, so we saw the show out there.
I love the restaurant, the design. I thought it was beautiful. Had, like, the white leather banquettes.
Not even a banquette, like, a full round booth for 2 people. Love that. Like, one of my pet peeves is just going to a nice restaurant, or any restaurant for that matter, and being, like, sitting on top of other people so you can hear their conversations.
Super spacious.
Yeah, you can spread out. Lovely. So we hit dinner there last night, and then we'll head to the airport in a couple hours. I mean, what were your overall thoughts on Dubai? Did you think, like, we didn't do enough with our time here? Were you okay with it?
Yeah, I think that I had that fantasy of doing that Nara escape, so the dinner in the desert thing, but it's pricey. And I'm okay with it. Like, we'll save $500, so.
But you didn't want to do, like, a tour of the city or a hop-on, hop-off bus or anything like that?
I can't say I had a desire to do a hop-on, hop-off here.
Yeah, me too. I thought about it for a little bit. They have three different routes, city center, beach, and then I believe a historical one. It wasn't cheap either. I was looking into it, and I didn't really want to be outside, honestly. So this place is massive. The hotel is connected to the tallest building in the world, which it's in. Then you have the mall, which is also connected.
Oh, but you know what was amazing that we haven't spoken about? Atmosphere.
Yeah, let's do that. So in the Burj Khalifa is Atmosphere, which is a restaurant and a lounge, which has a dedicated entrance through our hotel. And it's on the 123rd floor?
Yeah, that's correct. And so if you wanted to go to an observation deck on the for the Burj Khalifa, that's like a separate ticketed thing. And it's either the 126th floor or I think 146, I want to say. So I said to Jared, I'd rather have a drink on the 123rd floor and have views than like pay to just go up to an observation deck. So that's what we decided to do.
Yeah, so we made a reservation when we checked in. The one thing I will say is we got a card underneath our door confirming the reservation, and if you had a window view, it was a minimum of 350 AED per person, and then if you didn't have a window view, it was 250 AED per person, and that roughly comes to about $70 per person as a minimum spend. So I called downstairs and I was like, yeah, we're having dinner like in one of your restaurants. We're just going for a drink. I don't need to have a $70 per person minimum spend. Now, it just so happens like if you got one of their signature cocktails, it was almost $70. It was crazy, the prices up there. We got a glass of wine each, and that was
like $25.
That was $25 each. And that was, besides like getting a soda or something, the cheapest thing on the menu. It was very expensive to go there, and the food in the hotel was expensive too. It was great that the breakfast was included. It was good. The dinner was pricey for what it was, but you can't beat the highest bar in the world, right?
Yeah, no, it is the highest bar in the world, and we like, the timing was perfect because we had a 5:30 reservation. Sunset is like 5:39, so we were able to get sick pictures.
Great pictures. They had an electric violin player up there, which was really nice. So just a nice thing to have in your hotel.
Yeah, I think that if unless you're going to eat at, you know, P.F. Chang's in the mall, I think Dubai is an expensive city. So whatever hotel you stay at and you eat in their restaurants, it's going to be expensive. Like, I don't think it's an exception at this property. I think that's just the way
it is. And obviously, the only place you can get liquor is in the hotels, too. So there's going to be an extreme markup on that, which we've seen as well. So that's we did that before dinner last night. And just a nice addition to have in your hotel where you can take a private elevator up there. The concierge can get a reservation for you. And then if you ask them, no minimum spend. So good with that. So as I mentioned, we're out of here in a couple hours. Next week, we're going to be talking to you from the Maldives. We're going on Emirates again tonight, about 4.5 hours over to the Maldives. And we will talk to you next week from there. Bye.
Bye.